Well, it's good to see everybody again. I pray that the Lord will bless and help us this morning. I'd like to share a few thoughts. I feel like the Lord gave me a special blessing. And it started off with, we went to the home, I don't know what it's called, the home fair. It was out the fairgrounds. Anyway, it's a lot of salespeople wanting to sell you roof or insulation or things that have to do with homes, plumbing. But we were there, and we rounded the corner, and lo and behold, we met Brother Steve Gillen back there. And they had a little booth, and what they were doing was they would take your name, the names of your family, and he had a computer program that would mix the names of your family like a crossword puzzle. So the letters, different letters of the different names of your family would line up. That's where it would connect. And so he did, several for us, and but they were just kind of all mixed. Thank you, Micah. They were all mixed at random, and so I thought maybe I could bring a little bit of order to it. And so one evening, when I wasn't feeling very well, I just started with the pencil and paper, and I branched off. I had Leah and I's name on the in the center, and then I branched off with our children. And then I'd have their spouses connected, and then the grandchildren had them connected. I erased. I had, I don't know how many pieces of paper. And I almost come to the conclusion that this is impossible. But I didn't quit. And I finally got it. What made it so difficult was I tried to make it to where every person was connected, and yet their connection didn't run into someone else, where it was just all jumbled and you couldn't figure out the names. And I began to realize, in doing that and thinking about that, I was thinking about how that, you know, in our relationships, we need connection, and at the same time, we need a little space, a little wiggle room for our humanity. And when I was first married, I felt like I was the happiest guy on the planet. Felt like I'd found a good wife. And I did. That's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And I don't regret that decision. But there were times, and I thought I was ready when I said I do. But there was so much I didn't know. There was so much I didn't understand about myself or about her. And I'll confess this morning, there were times that I didn't know how this was going to work out. No, they talked about being married happily ever after, and they talk about the golden years. But the friction of two different people coming together, different ways, different personalities, different... But you know, it's possible. Sometimes it looks like it's an impossibility for it to work. But if we're patient and we keep trying to figure... I appreciate the Sunday school so much this morning. Because that's an important part of life, is trying to figure things out. Trying to figure out relationship. It's not, I don't know, it's just not... Another experience we had at Thanksgiving was with two of our little grandchildren. I'm not going to name names. But they were constantly wanting the same thing at the same time. And I thought, where's sanctification in all this? And they were willing to do whatever it took to get what they wanted. They don't understand the concept of carnality yet. And I was pondering and thinking, you know, sanctification doesn't come through Adam's line. It comes through the line of Christ. It comes from being born again. But we have to have patience, and I think I mentioned this recently. I've learned some of the things that kind of rub us wrong are some of the very things that we need and maybe don't realize it at the time. But God has, and that's what I wrote down at the bottom of my little puzzle. Let's see, what was the words I wrote? Knit together, temper together, members one of another. Members one of another. We're part of each other. Our lives touch each other. We're members one of each other, and I'm thankful that God has designed it, you know, that way. It's a beautiful plan. And I'm thankful this morning, very grateful that everyone in this room is not like me exactly. It's enough that there's one of me. But when we come to appreciate, and hopefully we do, our differences, the diversities. I wanted to get that scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the fourth verse, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. You know, isn't it beautiful when we can... You notice here how many times he mentioned diversity and differences? and diversities, differences, sometimes those are the things that rub us the wrong way because the person is not like we are, they're different. But I can become stronger. I can become strengthened when I recognize and honor the differences, when I can honor the different places, the different things that God has. You know, it doesn't, you know, I remember one time Brother Salmon's Brother Mark mentioned, he talked about people have an attitude, well, I'm just going to get mine from God. I'm going to get mine. And it was like there was a separation, a schism. You know, you do your thing and I'll get my thing from God. It doesn't work that way. And I know the devil today is working hard. Fighting families, fighting unity, fighting against oneness. He'll use any tool, anything that he can to try to wedge something in there, differences. He'll try to wedge something in there that causes people to grow further apart instead of being able to come together. But my life has been blessed and bettered because of my wife. She's added a lot to me in my life that I didn't have. God has worked through her to me. And that's the way he does in the body of Christ. You know, we don't come equipped with having every gift, everything as an individual, 100% complete in every area of our life. We don't come equipped that way. God hasn't designed us that way. We're designed to be able to receive strength from one another. God works through the body. He works through his people. And we can receive strength and help and encouragement and blessing if we recognize and honor those differences in those places. I appreciate in the scriptures Barnabas. Barnabas, wish I knew more about him, but Barnabas, I believe, was one of the ones that got Paul connected with the apostles. And he was also one that, when there was a split between him and Paul concerning John Mark, Barnabas, he didn't give up on John Mark. He didn't give up on him. I don't understand exactly what all it was like. They were maybe on some kind of a gospel expedition, and John Mark may have left early. We don't really know the background. We don't know the circumstances. But we do know later that Paul told them, said, bring John Mark because he's profitable for me in the ministry. There was somebody in the body. There was somebody that saw some value there, and they held on fellowship. They held on to encourage him, and I believe doesn't say exactly how that was, but Paul was offended or turned off or whatever you want to call it by whatever happened. But Barnabas, he stood in the gap. He helped there in that circumstance, in that situation. And Lord, help us today to be able to receive. He mentions about the different gifts of the body, diversities of gifts, and I believe it goes all the way down to people's makeup, personalities, different things. There's just differences that we have to work with and forbear with. And I think about how important patience is and long-suffering. Patience in being able to see a problem through, to be able to get a resolution, to be able to continue to find the letters, the things that will fit to make it work, to give greater comprehension and greater understanding. When I, that night that I did this, the next morning it seemed like the Lord really started talking to my heart about these things. You know, I mentioned my my grandchildren. It just seems like we come into the world, we're itself. We want our, you know, we're wired for ourselves. We look out for self. But it seemed like the Lord opened my mind on that scripture about except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And I equated that with giving. Giving of ourselves is, in a sense, dying to ourselves. I think about sometimes there's when forgiveness is needed from things that have been said or things that have happened, self doesn't want to forgive. The self-life wants to hold on. The self feels maybe empowered. You know, you did me wrong. I've got this. You know it, I know it. I'm holding on to this. You know, self feels empowered by that. But to relinquish, to give it up, to be able to give forgiveness, this is was another blessing to me. To be able to give forgiveness when you don't feel like giving forgiveness is a choice that we make. And I feel like sometimes the self is going to be, it's going to fight against us, it's going to want its own way, it's going to want to hold on to injuries, hurts. Self doesn't want to suffer long. Self doesn't want to be patient. Self doesn't want, it wants its way now. But when we're willing to give, and we're willing to die from that, put down the self-life, and then we can take on more of the life of Christ and more of His image. But if we hold on to us in our way, then we're going to fail to grow. We're going to fail to mature. And my grandchildren, that's what we're going to have to work on. We're going to work on that. Learning how to give. Learning how to give up that toy. Learning how to give up your time, your way. And you know, it's something that we have to keep pursuing in life. I believe it's something we have to self, if it's pampered too much, will begin to take over and begin to control. And we've got to put down self for the spirit, for the better, for maturity, for growth, spiritual growth. And I believe the Lord can help us in our in our difficulties and the things that we face, when we rub one another sometimes. Romans, another scripture, Romans 12, chapter. In the third verse, it says, "For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." You know, if we... I didn't give you a history on Brother Steve and I, but Brother Steve lived... We lived there at the parsonage there on Sooner Road, the house, that old house that's right by the chapel. Brother Al and Sister Kern lived there first. I think they had bought it and then sold it to the church, and we ended up living there for quite a few years. But Brother Steve lived just down the road a few blocks. And so I would walk down to his place, and he had a ping pong table in his garage, and we played ping pong. And I got whooped. I mean, we were serious players. We played 20 games in an evening. I'd maybe win three or four. And but you know, I got better. I got better playing somebody that was better than me. I got to where I could start returning his serves and start returning his balls. I mean, we were sweating. We were playing ping pong. And the next couple of days, our arms were sore. Our shoulders were sore. That's how serious and aggressive we were. So I told him, I reminded him of that the other day. And he thought we were 50-50, and I had to correct his memory. But if we have, and I know there can be a competitive, I've had that. I mean, I've had a competitive thing about me. But in Christ, that changes. In Christ, we want everyone to win. We want the other person to win. We want the other person to be blessed. And when they are, I am too. And I think sometimes that's what people sometimes fail to realize, because self sometimes can be so blinding. Because we see what we're missing out on, we see what we're not getting, we see we're coming up on the wrong end of the deal. And there's going to be a lot of places in life like that. But I want to say, I believe this morning. We're not going to lose in the long run. If we're willing to take some temporary losses, if we're not willing to take any losses, we probably will lose in the long run. And some people are that way. Some people, they won't take a temporary loss. They've got to win every single time. They've got to be on top. But if we're willing to help others win, to be a blessing and a strength to others, it comes back to us. We get part of the spoils from that. Spiritually, we get peace of mind, peace of heart, tranquility. If I'm not striving and fighting for my rights and my way, I appreciated one of my daughters. She wrote a little special deal that went out to family for this Christmas, and she said, she made the comment, she said, "I'm tired of struggling." She says, "I'm committing everything and myself into Christ's hands, and I'm going to let Him fight my battles." That was music to my ears. That was such a blessing to me, and I told her that. I sent her a text right away, let her know. But she said, "I'm tired of struggling." Lord, help us today to be able to know how to give of ourselves, to know how. And to me, that's what really Christmas is really about, is the spirit of giving. You know, the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave the very dearest that He had. I remember one time being at Brother Clifford Wilson's house, Sister Dorothy, and he gave me a book, and it was his nicer copy. And his wife spoke up, said, "No, you don't want to give him that one, you want to give him this other one." He said, "No," I said, "I want him to have this one." You know, God gave us the very best. He gave us of Himself. He didn't give us leftovers. He didn't give us seconds. He gave us the best that heaven had to offer. And I'm thankful for that spirit today. And Lord, help us to give of ourselves, to know how to give of ourselves. You know, it's not, I know there's a lot of gifts at Christmas time, but it's so much more than that. Sometimes it's the opening up of ourselves to one another. Sharing our failures, our successes, our victories, our defeats. You know, sharing our time, our energies. Those things are valuable. And sometimes it doesn't feel like maybe it's appreciated that much or that well received. But it doesn't have to be. Because we give through love. We want to give through love. We want, and I believe that's in the preceding verses here, Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's like instead of holding on to us, holding on to ourselves, our ways, I'm going to do it my way. We're offering ourselves to the Lord. You know, I mentioned in Sunday school, sometimes we just get so stuck in our ways that we fail to realize that maybe the Lord has another way for us to do something. You know, we just kind of get used to doing certain things and not that they're altogether wrong, or that maybe the Lord has a way that will help us to be able to see things that we haven't seen before. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. My prayer, I've been praying for everybody, but I've been praying for that our family connections would be valuable, purposeful, enriching, and it doesn't just happen all on its own. It happens because we pray, we ask God for guidance and direction, we ask Him for strength to overlook things that trouble us or bother us or upset us. But I believe the Lord wants to be in our coming together in our families. You know, times that we have together as a congregation, but even, you know, in our families, our respective families. I believe God wants to bless those times of our togetherness, and He wants them to be something valuable and precious, something that we look forward to, something that we try to make meaningful and purposeful. I know there's a lot of safe topics to talk about. You know, we can talk about the government and world conditions and things that are going on. I'm not against all that, those times for that. But sometimes those are safe conversations. But to talk about, you know, our desires and likes and dislikes and the different things that, where we open our heart to one another, I feel like that's where people are blessed. And I feel like that's where God, you know, over and over in the scriptures, when there's a oneness and a unity, it seems like that's where the Spirit of God dwells. And that's where He blesses and ministers and helps. So I appreciate you all this morning. Thank you for bearing with me, and I hope you can pull all these thoughts together. I know I mentioned a lot of different things. But I do believe they're interconnected and intertwined. Appreciate your prayers.